Mark chapter 4. Look at verse number 19. This is in the King James, and I'm going to read the Amplified. Mark chapter 4, verse number 19. He said, this is a parable of the sower. How many of you know he gives four kinds of ground, and then he gets to this ground? The verse 19 is talking about the thorny ground. And he describes what the thorny ground is. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Yeah. So we want to be good ground, right? So one thing we want to do is keep these things out of our lives so that the word produces fruit.
Yes.
We can be sitting in services and hear the word, but it not really produce.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to produce.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've, I guess I preached down in Kansas City recently, but I preached here last June maybe. I've talked about your spirit, the production center of your life.
Yeah.
This your spirit is where God's imperishable seed gets planted.
Yes.
Just like these guys, the farmers are going to plant corn here in a few weeks,
yeah,
if they haven't already started. And they're going to get a harvest off of that.
Yes.
That field is their production center.
Yes.
Then your spirit is God's production center.
Yes.
And it's not okay with him that you're not producing the fruit that that his word is designed to produce.
Yes.
So if it's not producing, let's check up on what's getting in there to keep that from growing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things, and there are four kinds of ground, has a lot of things to it. But notice this, verse 19, the King James says the cares of this world, and then it talks about being deceived by riches. He didn't say riches, but being deceived by them. Amen. You realize somebody can have money and it doesn't have them and it's not deceiving them. But it can deceive them. All right. Now, but I want to focus on verse number 19, the first part, the cares of this world. The Amplified says, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Distractions of the age. I have been, and in fact, I got so much in my spirit to talk about it, I wouldn't be able to get probably 20% of it up tonight. Probably not even that much. But God's been talking to me about distractions. Distractions, distractions. Dr. Dufresne used to say, busy, 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 busy. And he's talking about being distracted. Too busy to go where God tells them to go, or be in church, or spend time in prayer, or, you know. I don't have time for that. Well, you have time to fail.
Come on.
Which is a waste of time. Causes you to lose time.
Yeah.
The Bible says redeeming the time.
Yeah.
For the days are evil. You know how you redeem the time? You look at the context and you walk in the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Walking in the Spirit, you can make up lost time.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I messed up. I lost a lot of time. Well, you can redeem that. You can get that back.
Yes.
But not walking out of your mind. You can walk in the Spirit. Get the mind of God. Just do what he says. Get the mind of God. Just do what he says. So that's all, we could spend a lot of time on all that. But notice here the distractions, putting that together, let's just stay with that redeeming the time a bit. What he's saying is you can lose a lot of time by being distracted. You can waste a lot of time. You know, just because you got another day older or another week older doesn't mean you made any progress on your course spiritually. Amen. And so you can buy up the time. And if you're not careful, the evil that's in this world will gobble up your time. The distractions of life will consume all your time, and you won't make any progress spiritually. What do I mean progress? I'm talking about on the course of God's plan for your life. Absolutely. It's important. There's five things God told me that distractions, the enemy's distractions, focus in on to keep us distracted. One of them is the Word of God right here. Another one is the plan of God. He doesn't want people to get on the plan of God. You know what I'm talking about? The world's time, the world and its distractions will gobble up your time. So, but you can get it back.
Yes.
I said you can get it back.
Yeah.
Satan will keep you busy, distracted over here, distracted over there, distracted with the yakety yak over here, with crazy relatives over there, with hobbies over here. And I'm telling you, there's no century, I was going to say century, but really no generation that's more distracted than our generation.
Yes, sir.
We've got so much at our fingertips, so much information, and you know, a lot of things, it doesn't matter if you don't know about it. Well, I got to keep up with the news. Well, there's a lot of it. It doesn't really matter.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
How about you keep up with what the Holy Ghost is saying?
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So anyway, that's all. We could go so many directions with this. But if you'll follow the witness of the Spirit and move in faith, you'll actually make real spiritual progress and won't waste a lot of time. The devil is trying to distract you from the leadings of the Spirit, from the Word of God, so that you'll be just distracted over here, distracted over there. And what's really important gets left alone. And then people wonder why they're spinning their wheels, so to speak, spiritually. Amen. Don't just treat life like whack-a-mole. You know what I mean by that? Something pops up. Well, then I'm going to get my attention over here. The devil will keep things popping up for the rest of your life. How about you determine direction and not let all this and that and the other determine the direction? Here's what I'm going to do with my time today.
Yes, amen.
And everything that tries to come up to distract me, then that's going to wait.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
You determine direction.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You determine what takes up your time.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen.
Amen. You know, like for example, on Wednesday afternoons, I'm giving myself to prepare for the service.
Yeah.
And so the staff knows that I'm not going to answer. There might be something I do every now and then because I just want to or need to or something. But they know, generally speaking, I'm giving my time to something else right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If Cameron hits Brendan in the face, we'll tell him to make up and, you know, forgive one another, and I'll talk to him later. I'm just right now, I'm prepared for service. Amen. The devil's always just trying to, you know, stir stuff up, stir people up, stir situations up. The devil is a master at distractions. But how many of you remember we were preaching from Genesis 4, 6 through 7 in the Amplified? I'm talking about Cain. You must master it. The devil is a master at distractions, but why don't you become a master of not falling for it anymore? Amen. He's honed the skill of opposing the word from the spirit realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's honed the skill of bombarding your mind with thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to prayer and the devil, probably sometimes the devil will just remind you of all you got to do today. Don't do all you got to do this. You don't have time to pray. You got to do that. You got to do this. You better get over there. I mean, right, you know, and those thoughts will just bombard your mind. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
You go to pray and the phone rings off the hook.
Yeah.
Amen. You gotta determine what you do with your time, or else the devil will chew it up and totally gobble it all up, and you spend your whole life just chasing, you know, putting out fires and chasing a yakety yak yak. Amen. Jesus said one time, this guy one time, he came to Jesus and said, you know, I'm going to follow you, but let me bury my father first. He said, let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
Amen. That's an amazing verse. Dr. Frayne used to say, put them on ice, you know, because he'd say to the pastors, I know whenever you know, we have these meetings and God tells you to come, he said, I know sister, he called her Sister Bucket Mouth. I haven't met her yet, but she must have a big mouth. But Sister Bucket Mouth, she'll start talking and stirring up something in the church, or else somebody will die or something. He'd say, put them on ice. They'll be there when you get back. His point was, don't let the devil distract you. Because you know what? If you keep falling for it, he'll keep doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He'll keep doing it.
Yes, sir.
And if you keep falling for his distractions, he'll take the rest of your life and he'll have a ring in your nose and he'll just direct you wherever he wants you to go.
Yes, sir.
And you're not being led by the Spirit. You're being led by distractions.
Yes, sir.
You need to take the, you know, you need to cut that ring out of your nose. Amen. And so he'll distract you with bombarding thoughts, natural realm, circumstances, cares of life, busyness. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
He wants to keep you from getting still.
Yes.
He wants to keep you from entering into prayer and listening and hearing from God. He wants, because if you get into the presence of God and hear from God, or get quiet and meditate on the Word and get direction from the Word, you get still and you start, and then you decide that's the direction I'm going to go, and you start determining your direction rather than just chasing around His distractions. Now, all of a sudden, He can't control you. He can't control your decisions. He can't control your, he can't gobble up your time. He can't control which direction you go. Now you're choosing the direction you go. And you're redeeming the time, redeeming the time, redeeming the time, redeeming the time. He's like, what's working for everybody else isn't working for them.
Come on.
So let's get good at this. Let's master this. What do you say? And so if you're going to walk by faith and you're going to finish your course, you're going to have to master this. I said on, was it Sunday, I think I said this, that since 2020, our society, it was before 2020, but since 2020, it's greatly ratcheted up. That there's been nothing but distraction, 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 distraction in our nation.
Yes, sir.
And it's designed to keep the church out of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's designed to keep, you ever notice the world likes to do alarming things?
Yeah.
Really, it's the God of this world behind it. Likes to do alarming things just to make you go, huh.
Right. Yeah.
And before you know it, you're watching the whole 24 news cycle, 24-hour news cycle about it. It's a distraction. What Hollywood's doing is a distraction. Who's got the latest hit in the music world is a distraction. The latest movie is a distraction.
Yes, sir. Come on. That's right.
When you stand before the throne of grace to get your reward, and God says, I want you to see how much time you wasted, all consumed with what the world was flowing in, what the spirit of the world was all excited about.
Amen.
You'll realize what I'm preaching is more real than maybe sitting here today we realize. So praise the Lord. Everybody still glad they came to church? So, like I said, Satan is a master at this. But listen, I'm better than him. Not because of myself, but because of the Word. I'm getting my mind renewed, and the Word makes me much better than him. Amen. I think, this is just what I sense in my spirit. The reason I said since 2020, just one thing after another, I believe is because something's coming and the devil doesn't like it. Amen. He's stirring things up. He's got to get the people of God to miss it or he's in trouble. That's why he's stirring so much up. But some of us are just staying the course. Staying the course. Hallelujah. So distractions, there's something that you need to master. Now, when it comes time for reading your Bible, like I said, the phone will ring off the hook. When it comes time for church, your mean mother-in-law will call. That joke doesn't work for mine because mine's so sweet, but... Amen. You'd be surprised how often I get phone calls or texts. You know, so-and-so won't be here tonight, so-and-so, their relative this or relative that. Well, if I'm not there, finish that. What if you're not there?
Come on.
Huh?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'll be there at 9 o'clock after service, Mom.
Come
on. See, some of you don't like it.
Preach it.
Some of you don't like it. I got really persecuted for preaching what Jesus said. He said, "Who is my mother and my father?" Jesus' relatives were nothing but a distraction to him.
Yes, sir.
Except his mother Mary, not his mother Mary.
Right. Yes,
but his brothers and sisters,
right.
When he walked the earth, they didn't believe in him.
Yes, sir.
They didn't believe what he was preaching.
Right.
Amen. And he said, if you don't love me more than your mother and your father, you have no part with me. I just told that was about probably 15 years ago. I was preaching real strong on that one service. Boy, some people got offended. You don't think we should love our... I didn't say don't love you. I said put them in the right place. Because the devil will... carnal family, carnal relationships are a distraction.
Yes. Amen.
Here's the truth. Amen. Amen. Sometimes somebody say amen. Don't say it sheepishly. Say amen. Amen. I told some of my relatives sometimes, you know, well, you know, you never come around. I said, you never listen to my sermon on YouTube, do you? Say, well, they think I'm not about what they're about, and I say, you're not about what I'm about.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
I'm about God, and I'm about His plan. Yeah. And I notice you never listen much, so. Uh-huh. So I'm focused on the plan of God for my life. And whenever I get to the throne of grace, it's not going to be, did you do this for your family? Did you do that for your family?
Come on, sir.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying don't love your family.
Absolutely. Of course.
There just has to be the timing for everything. Martha's problem was not that she was busy serving. It's that she was busy serving at the wrong time.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
It wasn't that she was wrong to serve. There was a time to be sitting at his feet listening to the word, and then there was a time to serve.
Yes. Amen.
And she was doing the wrong thing at the wrong time.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So you got to recognize what's first, and who's first, and spiritual connections and divine relationships, and the plan of God has to be first, or you're not worthy of Him.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
So that's what I was preaching, and boy, some people got mad. They left the church, and their life fell apart. But see, you know, the proof of the pudding's in how your life turned out. So anyway, so praise the Lord. I'm feeling mean on the devil tonight. When it comes time to go to church, the toilet will overflow. Amen. When it comes time for the pastors to go out of town and go to a meeting where they can be fed, the carnal people stir something up in the church. Distractions, distractions, distractions. I've learned just to say, this is what God said do, and this is what I'm doing. And let the, you know, like some kid, this years ago, they were, you know, back in the wagon days of, you know, going out west and settling new territories and stuff. And they all took out in their wagon train, and they were going out west. And the dogs were back there barking, barking, barking. And the little kid said to mama, 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 the dogs are barking. She said, the dogs are barking, but the train rolls on.
Yeah.
Amen. Just let the people bark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, whenever they eventually get really hurt and really bad, they'll call you for prayer. And you'll be able to really help them because you had took the time to put the right things into your spirit to be there for them. And that's real love. Not trying to help them in the flesh. Boy, this is coming out bolder than I thought it was going to come out, but... Amen. Something always comes up. I got to tend to this, got to tend to that. How about the plan of God? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And so Satan just wants to keep you in the rat race. He wants to keep you on the hamster wheel. I mean, a lot of busyness, sweat, you know, people slinging snot and sweat, and they're working, they're busy, 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 but they're going nowhere. They're busy with distractions. That's the devil wants you on the hamster wheel. Keep you busy with, you know, just nothing. He's gobbling up your time, gobbling up your time, gobbling up your time. Waste it on things that get you nowhere rather than following the Spirit. Amen. So he'll also come with distractions just in the spirit realm, yakety yak yak. You can take this different directions. You can take this in the area of faith. There's always the natural realm always telling you it's not so, it's not so. Abraham had to consider not his own body in order to walk by faith.
Yeah.
Remember that? Whenever Jairus came to Jesus, you know, about his, well, sent some people about his daughter, Jesus got this delayed by the woman with the issue of blood getting healed. And then somebody came and said, don't trouble the master, you know, your daughter's dead. And the Bible says in the Amplified, Jesus overhearing but ignoring.
Yeah.
That's something you need to get real good at.
Yeah.
There's some things you're going to hear. Yeah. You're going to, people are going to say, yeah. Things are going to come up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're trying to keep you from really getting your miracle.
Yeah.
You have to learn to ignore it. Am I preaching all right?
Yeah.
Got to learn to ignore it. Get good at ignoring.
Yes.
Now, some people will get mad as a hornet.
Come on.
I said some people will get as mad as a hornet.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
Tell your neighbor, he's preaching to you. I'm not saying don't love your family. How many of you know I didn't say that? I'm simply saying there's got to be a time that you say, this is what I'm going to give myself right now.
Yes. Yeah.
The devil likes to find the most carnal person closest to you and stir them up. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Say, I'll get to you whenever I get to you. Amen. You know, a lot of them, I'm not trying to be mean. I hope you people don't take, but a lot of them don't really want their answer. They don't want a real answer. They want to just waste your time. Jesus, I didn't know this was going to come out like this. Praise the Lord. This is a get your hanky out and wave it service. So, amen. And Satan will make sure there's always something screaming at you. Trying to tell you, you have to do something. You have to do something. Who said I have to do something? You know what I'm talking about? Well, don't you care? Not the way you think. I have compassion. Listen. But since you don't really want your real answer, then I got to put things first. Anyway, so praise the Lord. A lot of things are just a distraction. Your job's learn not to fall for it. And so, I mean, this is true about partaking of the table, the blessings that are in front of you.
Yeah.
This is true about family relationships, so forth and so on.
Yes.
Just because the devil's making a lot of noise in an area of your life and is jumping up and down screaming doesn't mean that you are to run over there and see and put your attention on what the devil is making a ruckus about.
Come on. Really good.
Hey, man, he's called you to run your race, not run around like a chicken with his head cut off. Amen. You know, the devil's raging over here. Why don't you focus on the race and run your race? It'll be the best thing you ever did for your family, by the way. Amen. They might not like it right away, but they'll see it later. Amen. So God wants you to dictate direction. He wants you to choose which direction you go, what you spend your time doing, what you give your attention to.
Yeah.
And the devil will stir things up, but that's his problem.
Yeah.
When you break free from that, he can't control you anymore.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
No longer will you be making decisions based on the stuff he brings up. You'll be making decisions based on the leading of the Spirit. There were people pressuring Jesus. Lazarus had died. Remember that? There were people pressuring Jesus before he died, actually. They pressured him, come quick, he's about to die. And Jesus spent 4 days at the same place he was. He didn't yield to that pressure.
Yeah.
That's good.
You see Jesus over and over again not yielding to pressure from people.
Yeah.
His family showed up one time outside of one of his services, said, we need to talk to you. And they came in and said, your family's out there. They want to talk to you. He said, who's my family?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, that'll make some people fiery mad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Feel good.
I know people could take this wrong tonight, but you just have to put first things first.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. Wean yourself off of just running around like that.
Yes.
You're going to continually be unfaithful to God and his plan if you don't learn this lesson.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Greek word here, remember we started this in Romans, not in Romans, Mark 4, verse 19. And it says, the cares of this world. The Greek word for cares is the definition of it in the Greek is to be separated from something through distractions. It means to part your unity with something by allowing it to get between you and it. Now notice that to be separated from something through distractions. The devil's always trying to separate you from something.
Yeah.
Separate you from the word.
Yeah.
Separate you from your fellowship with God. Separate you from the plan of God. separate you from a prayer life? You know, you could go on and on, but he's trying to, in other words, he stirs things up, whether it's circumstances, people, you know, just the bombardment of your own thoughts against your own mind. He stirs things up to separate you from something. Now, there are things that come from the activity of the enemy. Like I said, people, circumstances, so forth, that they're separating you from your attention being in the right place. When it comes to distractions, if you're going to master distractions, you have to be a master of your attention.
Yes.
Amen. A master of your attention.
Amen.
So that's what the yakety yak yak's all about. That's what the fire over here and the you know, noise over here. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's to separate your attention from where it should be.
Yes.
Now, notice that it can be a distraction, can simply be a fleshly appetite. It can be a hobby. It can be the 24-hour news cycle. Right? The Lord said to me one time, because if you you look at this verse carefully and meditate on it, you'll see this. This is in Mark 4:19. He said to me one time, he said, people have an interest in too many other things, and their faith has too much competition. Their faith gets choked out by these other distractions. The word gets choked out. Notice that's what he said, the cares of this life, deceitfulness, riches, lust of other things, entering in, choke the word. Choke the word. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to choke out the word. Now, I know what that's like. I grew up on a farm, and today I understand some of these things, too. You plant something in a field, and that's why they kill the weeds. The farmers will make sure and really keep the weeds down. It's because the weeds, especially if the weeds get ahead of the crop, they'll take up all the moisture, they tuck up all the nutrients, and then they'll also shade out, if they get ahead of the crop, they'll shade out the crop so that the sun, because, the you know, photosynthesis, that's how plants grow, photosynthesis. If it gets shaded out, they're not going to grow very much, and they certainly won't produce the crop that it should. And that's what he's talking about here. These things can shade out the word and keep your attention away. See, the way the word gets sun is through your attention. The way the word begins to do its mighty work, prevailing, mightily grew the word and prevailed. You remember that verse? Is through the sunshine of your attention. Amen. It has to grow in your heart through meditation.
Yes.
Meditation is that plant getting all the sunshine it needs.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. But the devil wants you to grow a lot of distractions, cares of life, and give them all your attention and get them ahead of the Word of God and shade it out. Does that make any sense? And that's what the Lord meant whenever he said, I'll just quote this again. He said, some people have an interest in too many other things. Their faith has too much competition. These other things choke out the word. Now, you can see here, because you can hear a service like this is like, well, my goodness, Pastor, don't we have a natural life? Yeah, we have a natural side to life. The point is, don't let it shade out spiritual things. Right? And everybody has to work that out between their own, you know, their own conscience and God and so forth and so on. But I'll tell you, when you're in a test or a trial, that's not a time to be just goofing off and wasting time. What bothers me sometimes is that, you know, people say, can you come up in the hospital and pray? And whenever I go up there, the TV is blaring.
Yeah, come on.
And they say, oh, the pastor's here, turn it off. Well, I'm competing with that. The word is competing with that.
Yes.
See, isn't the word more powerful? Only if it grows in you. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. It can't prevail without growing in you, and it can't grow without your attention.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So is this good preaching tonight?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So these things are designed to separate you from the word, the plan of God, and so forth and so on. So distractions are always present. Notice how this verse says this. The cares of the world, or the distractions of the age, and deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. See, that's what the Lord said to me. Many people have a desire for too many other things. Now, I have some things I enjoy, but to be honest with you, I'm so focused right now, I don't hardly spend any time on it. And to be honest with you, I don't have as much unction to as I used to. Or I don't get as much liberty in my spirit, maybe is a better way to say it. Yeah. It's not that God doesn't want you to enjoy some things.
Right.
It's just that if it's done at the expense of the plan of God, it really wasn't worth it. You're setting aside the precious for the worthless. You're making an exchange there, which you don't want to get. A lot of people get to the end of their life and they have regrets. I don't want to get to the end of my life and have regrets. I want to. I took it all.
Yeah.
Everything God said to me, I took it all.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. So, but let's mention this again, though. So, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. Notice what it says there. Entering in, choke the word. Say that out loud. Entering in.
Entering in.
How many of you know they're always there, but unless you give your attention to them, they can't get in and separate you from your source, the word of God, or the leading of God, or the plan of God. Entering in. Say that, entering in. There's a lot of things out here going all the time to me, yakety yak yak, but I don't let them in. Because I'm focused on putting in the right things in my life. Because this is a production center in my life.
Amen.
If I let these out here voices enter in, I'm going to start producing after their kind. The voice of fear, the voice of, you know, worry, the voice of the enemy. Amen. Try and talk to me, distract me. Well, if I let those in, they get in there and get all the sunshine, get all the watering, get all the, you know, then I'm going to start producing after that kind. That's not the harvest I want. So I guard what I put my attention on. So they're always present, right? But whether they get in or not determines whether you sink. You know, ships have water all around them, but they don't sink. It's only when water gets in them that they sink.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you can have, you see, people say, well, Pastor, I mean, you're preaching like none of this, you know, we're supposed to live where none of this is talking to us. Oh, it's talking all the time. Always talking, always talking. The news is always talking.
Yes, sir.
Right? Carnal people are always talking. Natural relationships, people of natural day, they're always talking. They're not interested in God, but they're a distraction.
Yes. Yes.
But whether you let them in or not determines whether you're going to walk on the water or you're going to sink into. See, a lot of people are sinking into what I want to walk on top of. Praise the Lord. So, but just because something is pressing doesn't mean it's important. Somebody better write that down. Just because something is pressing doesn't mean it's important. How many of you know Pastor Nancy's taught us the loudest voice is not always the most important voice? The devil is a loud voice. He's, you know, like we read the parable, or it's not the parable, the story of Peter walking on the water. The Bible said he saw the wind boisterous. The word boisterous means loud. The devil likes to talk loud, but the real voice you need to follow is that gentle whisper, that still small voice of the Holy Ghost on the inside. The one that's the loudest is not the one that you should be following. Just make sure it's the right one that you're following. Follow the right one. Amen. How many of you know the flesh will pressure you? The appetites of the flesh will pressure you. Place demands on you to give your attention to it, to its desires. The world has voices. Amen. You ever notice the world's clamoring for your attention? The world is a distraction. That's right. The world is a distraction. Hallelujah. So are people who live in the world. So are fleshly and worldly people who have their affections on worldly things. They're a distraction to you. Now, I didn't say don't minister to them. They need your compassion, and they need you to share with them. But I'm just simply saying, you know, because I've said for many years, there's a difference between ministering to somebody and fellowship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ministry is a one-way street. Fellowship is a two-way street. Fellowship means I'm like if Brother Juan and I are fellowshipping, and he's not carnal, so we do have fellowship. but if we're fellowshipping, then he might share something. I'll say, oh, that's good. Thank God, that's a good word. And then I'll share something. He'll say, oh, that's good. See, it's a two-way thing.
Yes, sir.
But people that are just full of the world and full of the spirit of the world and the thinking of the world, you can't take in to your heart what they have.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So it's going to be a one-way thing.
Yes.
I don't mean don't be sweet or smile or say hello, good to see you.
Yes.
It's just that whenever they want to share their, you know, wisdom or revelation or, you know, this is what I think you ought to do. Well, you don't have the interests of God in your heart. You don't have the mind of God in your heart. Your mind is not renewed.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
This sure came out different tonight than I planned it to. But I'm not taking it back. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:3 is in the Amplified. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus. The context is, how many of you know the verse before that's run your race with patience or endurance. The race is set before you. So turn your attention to the race. Amen. The distractions of life will keep you from making progress on your race. And notice he didn't say walk your race. He said run your race.
Run your race.
The race of heaven is worthy of a good pace.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So how do you keep pace? How do you keep up with the plan of God and stay on in time with every step and so forth? It has a lot to do with your attention.
Yes.
Has a lot to do with looking away from all that will distract. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So don't struggle with distractions. Just turn away from them. You understand?
Yes.
I said, don't struggle with distractions. Just turn away from them. They can be loud and trying to hold your attention, but you don't have to just get them to all be quiet. You know, the devil, you can rebuke him, but circumstances, you got to turn away. Amen. I'm not going to give my time to that distraction right now. God has put something in my heart. I want to pray about something or whatever. I'll get to that later. It's not that necessarily anything. Let me say something here. What distractions? Notice that looking away from all that would distract to Jesus. You know, remember laying aside. The previous verse said laying aside every weight and the sin. There are some things that are distractions, but they're not sin. Amen. So when you're distracted, you have to lay aside some things that might even be legitimate. Let me rephrase this. I said that wrong. When you're focused on the plan of God, for example, like this verse is talking about following the plan of God. When you're focused on that, there could be leadings of the Spirit to lay aside things that are even legitimate. But right now is not the time to give your attention to that.
Yeah, that's good.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
In other words, in order to give yourself to what's important, you have to lay aside even things that might even be legitimate, but they're not that as important.
Yes, sir.
Some things are pressing, but they're not priority. It's not always about something being sin that you have to turn your attention away from. It's about what you have to lay aside. Let me say it this way. Some things might not be sin, but to give your attention to that means you can't give your attention to the thing you need to be giving your attention to. I'm believing God to say this right. So in other words, you know, like some recreation, some hobbies, things like that. Those might not necessarily be sin, but you have to, in your own spirit, work out how much of this can I do and not slow the pace. You know what I'm talking about? And you don't let somebody else's convictions or lack thereof make your decisions for you. They have to work out their own salvation with God. You have to work out your own salvation with God. Is this making any sense? So other people may, but you may not. Right? I'm not going to give an account for you before the throne of grace. You're not going to give account for me. I'm going to give account for myself. You're going to give account for yourself. He's not going to ask me, well, what did your pastor do? Or what did your neighbor do? No, it's what did I tell you to do? Amen. So it's not always about what you're giving your attention to. It's about what you have to pull your attention off of to give your attention to that. Amen. It's not always about man. It's not always what a man is doing that gets him in trouble. It's what he's not doing that gets him in trouble. I was praying for somebody a few years ago, and they were needing healing in their body, and I was praying for them, and the Spirit of God said to me, "What you're seeing is the beginning of judgment," and I didn't understand that. I'm just being honest. I didn't understand it. So I was seeking God about, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying. And he said this to me. Is it all right if I just share this? He was talking to me further about it. And he said to me that the reason that they were dealing with what they were dealing with is because they were not bringing their supply to the body of Christ in the area of prayer. They're distracted all the time from what God was trying to use them in the area of prayer. Now, it's not doing that that earns their healing.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
But failing to bring our supply can actually, if we read this 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, not discerning the Lord's body, people get weak and sick. In other words, what's your place in the body of Christ?
Right.
Bring that. And by bringing that, you'll keep the door closed to the enemy. You understand?
Yes.
Now, they do good things for the ministry. You understand?
Yes.
But the supply of the Spirit.
Come on.
See, they were bringing supply and some natural things. But the supply of the Spirit, they were neglecting. And the Lord was dealing with me. It's not about what they're doing. It's about what they're not bringing. And he said this to me. He said, many of my people don't make a big enough deal about this. Amen.
Amen.
And so he said, I'm not gonna let you carry them in faith and in prayer like you have been. He said, they'll have to make that adjustment. So everybody still glad they came tonight? He said, most people don't make a big enough deal about this. People are caught up in their own needs, their own busyness, their own distractions, and they think, well, I'll get to that. Well, it can start costing you.
Yeah.
Maybe not right away, but it could eventually start. Now, I don't wish that on anybody. I'm not saying, get them, God.
No,
that's the first thing. Well, I was praying for them. I was believing God to, get them over that hump. But how many of you know you can't just do it? You can't pray apart from the Holy Ghost. Whenever he says something like that, that's the issue. Am I making any sense? So people get caught up with their own supply or, their own needs and so forth, and it'll affect them spiritually, and sometimes it'll affect them naturally or physically. And so he put it in my heart that was the issue in that case. So it's important. It might not be just what the person is doing. It might be what they're not doing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. People can bring a natural supply, and we thank God for natural supply, but if God's telling them, I need you to bring a spiritual supply.
Come on.
I need you to bring a spiritual supply. That can get them in trouble. Let me speak to women here, ladies here, who are married to somebody who's called to the ministry. This will get you in trouble if you don't bring your spiritual supply. Amen? Your primary prayer project is your husband and his ministry. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? So sometimes it's, you know, like, for example, in the garden of Gethsemane, remember Jesus said with Peter, watch and pray.
Yes.
Watch and pray. He came back a few minutes later, Peter's sleeping. Well, it's not that Peter was sleeping that Jesus dealt with him about. It's that he wasn't praying.
Yes.
Amen. How many of you know you and I need rest?
Yes.
It's not that we have to stay awake 24 hours a day and pray. But whenever the Holy Ghost tells us it's time to pray, then that's not the time to sleep. We'll sleep later.
Yes, sir.
I like what it says about Anna over there, about Anna. I'm going to wrap this up here. But Anna, remember Anna and Simeon in the temple that saw Jesus when he came in to be baptized? Anna, the Bible said she gave herself to prayer night and day.
Yes.
Or day and night, however it said that. And Pastor Nancy brought this out. Your nights belong to God just as much as your daytime belongs to God. And I have him wake me up many a night. Many a night. In fact, to be honest with you, some of my family, my natural family, they try to pick on me about, you know, I don't get up as early as they do. Well, I don't spend the time to explain to them why.
Right.
But I was up last night 2-3 hours.
Yeah. 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 Come on.
Praying for their carnal self.
Well, all right. Yeah.
Or whatever. Maybe not always them, but you know.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, prayerlessness is sin. Yeah, praise the Lord. This is all going over like a lead balloon tonight. Praise God.
Really good.
Hallelujah. Praise God. In Mary and Martha's case, it wasn't about what Martha was doing, is what she wasn't doing. She's doing it at the wrong time. Praise God. So, did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Now, I want to get into that. We'll see how the Lord leads us, but I want to get into our prayer life more about distractions and prayer. The devil has strategies against your prayer life. I haven't preached on it. I believe it was Matt Slaymaker here. He said, Pastor, teach us more on prayer. I want to learn to pray. And I was like, I want to teach it too. I want to. But here recently, we're getting more unction on it.
Amen.
So I want to do more of this and talk more about this. It's going to be... in the days, you know, the days ahead, you can stand with me, but in the days ahead, the world, I don't know if you noticed, the Bible talks about the last days in the world in the last days, but the world is not going to get rosier.
Yeah. Right.
It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to get better and better. The church has gone from glory to glory, faith to faith, but the world's not in that flow. Amen. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. The world's in a different flow. I'm glad I'm in the church. How about you? But the world's not going to get rosier and rosier. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come. But what am I saying that all for? I'm saying that because in the last days, believers in the last days, they're going to have to find the secret place. And live out of that place of prayer and that place of fellowship with God, or just a lot of people aren't going to make it.
Right. Yes.
I'm not saying what the percentage is, but if they don't do that, whatever that percentage is that doesn't, they're not going to make it. In other words, what do you mean not make it? They're going to get caught up with the cares of life.
Yes.
Remember Luke 21 talks about their hearts being overcharged in the last days. That means overwhelmed with the things that are coming on the earth. Remember? So they're going to be full of care, full of anxiety, even some of them deceived. The devil's after the believers in the last days. But where's your safe place from all that? It's called the secret place of the Most High. The God's provided a refuge for us. Hallelujah. A place of, even in the last days, inaccessible. Thousand fall over here, 10,000 over here, won't come near us. Your place of prayer, your prayer closet, so to speak, in the last days is going to be a precious, more and more precious place to you. Amen.
Amen.
You ever, I don't know, I think it's Motel 6 or one of those hotels. Which one's that says, you know, we'll leave the light on for you? Is that Motel 6? Hotel 6, whichever one, motel, hotel. But I think God's saying that to a lot of believers about the secret place.
Yeah.
It's available. I'll leave the light on for you. Amen. A lot of darkness out there, but I'll leave the light on for you. It's in the secret place. glory. You know what that means? And Hotel 6 says, we'll leave the light on for you. They're saying, we'll be open whenever you need us. We'll be there. And God's saying, that secret place is available whenever you need it. I found lately I'm needing it a whole lot. Every time I come, God says, see, the light's on for you. No darkness in here. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody said, a couple people were saying Sunday, said, man, some of the preaching you've been doing lately, I said, boy, this is coming out of where I'm living right now. Coming out of where I'm living. Praise the Lord. I'm going from victory to victory. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. We receive the word that was preached tonight. Father, we receive it in faith. We take it into our lives. We bless you and thank you for whatever you've shared with us while the preaching of the word was happening. Thank you, Father. Thank you for dealing with us in the specifics. I know while we were preaching, there were specifics you were dealing with all of us about. Father, we walk in the light of what we saw in the place of prayer tonight, in the place of sitting under your word. We thank you for those dealings. We choose to walk in the light of those and not just set them aside as unimportant or go away and forget about them. Father, those were spoken to our spirit to walk in the light of. So we'll make sure and write that down before we go to bed tonight, Father. And we'll be doers of it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.